Hello, 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 you 2.1 million beautiful and intelligent, proper human diet tribe members. Welcome back. I have a very special guest this evening who's going to be talking about a topic that I think is very near and dear to many of our hearts. Many, many of us, probably the majority of us, have someone that we love or care about who suffers from a mental health disorder, condition, disease, diagnosis. And I remember years ago when I was first recommending a ketogenic way of eating to my patients for weight loss, they kept coming back at their 3 and their 6 month checkup saying, "Doc, my mood is so much better. I haven't even been taking my Zoloft and I feel great." And at first I thought that's just an anecdote. That doesn't mean anything. Patients will tell you anything. But when I heard this scores of times, hundreds of times, now thousands and thousands of times, at some point you have to say, maybe all these anecdotes add up to data. And today I have the honor and the pleasure of chatting with Dr. Chris Palmer, who's a Harvard educated psychiatrist. He is an author. He has many, many articles in Psychology Today and other publications. He's got a new book coming out soon in November called Brain Energy. I want to introduce this very important thinker and intellectual to you. And we're going to have a discussion about a proper human diet and how it can affect your mental health for the better. Dr. Chris Palmer, welcome.
Dr. Barry, thank you for having me.
Man, it's a pleasure. I've been wanting to set this up with you for a while. So thanks for making the time to do this. We've already got almost 900 people watching. So I knew this was going to be a popular topic. I get questions about this all the time. I've made a few YouTube videos about it, but I'm a family physician, right? I definitely take care of people with mental health issues, but I'm not a specialist. And so before we get started, I want you to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, your background, your training, why they should listen to you and care what you think.
Well, that last part's a little hard, but I'll give you the who I am. So I'm Chris Palmer. I actually grew up in the Midwest and ended up at Harvard Medical School for my residency and internship. And I've been a psychiatrist for over 25 years now. I am the director of the Department of Postgraduate and Continuing Education at McLean Hospital and Harvard. I've had leadership positions in psychiatric education for over 20 years. I've been doing research on addiction and sleep for about 15 years prior to the last 6 or 7 years that I've really focused my efforts on metabolism and the role of metabolism in mental disorders. And through that, I've really been doing a lot of work with the ketogenic diet in patients with treatment-resistant, serious, chronic, debilitating mental disorders.
And most people out there in the world have no idea that a very, very low carbohydrate, nutrient-dense, ancestrally appropriate diet can have a therapeutic role in mental health. And most healthcare providers have no idea that there's a substantial body of research already that supports this way of eating for mental health in general, but also for specific mental health diagnoses. It's quite powerful. And I spoke earlier about the anecdotal responses I would get from my patients, and they would be like, "No, I haven't. I quit taking that Klonopin. I quit taking that Zoloft. I don't feel like I need it anymore. Is it okay? Do I have to take it, or is it okay?" I'm like, "Well, I mean, if your symptoms are gone, then I definitely don't want you taking an unnecessary medication." And the first few times you hear that as a doctor, it makes you uncomfortable. You're like, "Well, I mean, I guess that's okay, but a diet can't do that, right?" But then after you've heard that hundreds of times and you start actually looking into the research, you're like, "Well, you know, we've been treating seizures with a ketogenic diet since the 1920s. So if it can have that kind of therapeutic effect on brain function in one area, maybe it has therapeutic effects in other areas of brain and mental function. So I've read several of your articles in Psychology Today, and we've got over 1,000 people watching now. So Doc, you have the people, you have their ear. They want to hear what you have to say about this. Tell us kind of how you even thought diet may help mental health. Where did you get that idea? Where did that come from? And what have you found in the years of your practice that you've been using diet as a therapeutic intervention?
So the real answer is I stumbled across it just like you did. I first noticed it for myself. So I myself have been on low carbohydrate diet. I kind of started with the Atkins diet way back when, over 20 years ago. And I did it not because I was obese. I was like a skinny fat person. I had a big belly, but I already was diagnosed with metabolic syndrome in my 20s. So I had high blood pressure, sky high triglycerides, really low HDL, all of it. And so I did the Atkins diet. And the thing that I noticed, you know, within 3 months, all of my metabolic syndrome went away. My doctor was delighted and thrilled. He was like, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. But I noticed, just like you said, with your other patients, so I wasn't on antidepressants at that point in time or anything, although I had had depression earlier in my life. So I know what depression is. But I noticed that I felt dramatically better in a way that I never felt and that I never imagined I could feel. Like I had energy, I had motivation, my sleep was great, I had more confidence, everything was better. Now, again, I wasn't clinically depressed or clinically diagnosable with any psychiatric disorder at the time, but I noticed stark differences. And so probably about 18 years ago, it took me a little bit of time because it was like a little dodgy, like, am I really going to try this on patients? Just because I noticed it in myself doesn't necessarily mean I should try it in my patients. But when I started noticing it in friends and family members who were also doing the diet, that's when I decided, you know, I have lines of treatment-resistant patients in my office who have severe crippling depression. They've tried dozens of medications. Some of them had tried shock therapy. They had been in therapy for decades. They had exhausted every option. And so I'm like, well, what do we have to lose? Like, maybe I'll put them on this ketogenic diet and see if it works for them. And lo and behold, for the patients who were able to do it, it started working. And I was actually really impressed. That all changed for me. Because depression is different than schizophrenia. So that all changed for me about 7 years ago when one of my longstanding patients with chronic schizophrenia said he wanted help losing weight. And he had already tried lots of other weight loss methods, couldn't lose weight. I'm like, let's try the ketogenic diet. I really just wanted to help him lose weight. I had no intention this was going to do anything for his psychotic disorder. Within 2 weeks, I noticed this antidepressant effect. He was coming back to life. He was smiling more, making better eye contact, talking more. I was like, wow, okay, so this is that antidepressant effect kicking in. That's awesome. 6 to 8 weeks later, that's when I was blown away because he starts just telling me spontaneously, you know, those voices in my head that I hear all the time? I'm like, yeah, I know about them. It's like, they're going away. You know, those delusions, like, you know how I thought there were all these people trying to conspire against me and they were following me and they had technology and they could put thoughts into my head and all of this crazy stuff? I'm like, yeah, I know all about that. He's like, I don't think that's true anymore. I think, it sounds kind of crazy now that I say it. And he's like, maybe you were right all along. Maybe I did have schizophrenia, because he never believed he had schizophrenia. He thought he was really being persecuted and people were really doing this stuff to him. And, you know, that particular man went on to lose 150 pounds. He has kept it off to this day. He was able to move out of his father's home for a while. He was able to perform improv in front of a live audience. This man could not go out in public before he started the diet. And that really kind of was career changing for me, because I was blown away. I had never seen anything like it. And we don't really have miracle cures like that for schizophrenia. You know, we have some medications that are supposed to be miracle cures, but in 98% of the people, they're not.
They're not. Yeah. Let me interrupt you, doctor. I just want to remind everybody, Dr. Palmer is not some fly-by-night guy that got his medical degree at some university in the Caribbean. Okay. He is a Harvard trained, board certified psychiatrist. And he's telling you that he had no hope that eating a certain diet was going to help his patient with schizophrenia, with depression, with anxiety. And then before his eyes, they got better. And have there been any definitive research studies published yet about keto and schizophrenia, keto anxiety, keto depression? Is there anything sound in the literature yet?
We don't have any randomized controlled trials. So that's kind of the gold standard in the medical literature, is a randomized controlled trial. We don't have any of those for depression or schizophrenia. We have a few small pilot randomized controlled trials for alcoholism and for Alzheimer's disease. And for those of you who don't know, Alzheimer's disease is commonly associated with hallucinations and delusions, which are the hallmark symptoms of schizophrenia. So we've got a couple, but the great news is that we've got 5 trials that I'm aware of underway right now. I myself, along with many colleagues, have published case series and case reports. So those are decent, and they're not randomized controlled trials, but they are decent evidence where I line up all of the evidence. And for several patients, what I noticed was an on-off effect. So when they were on the diet, they were dramatically better, and they went off the diet several times, either on purpose because they thought they didn't need it anymore, or even one time by accident. One of them was eating something that he thought was allowed on the diet. It wasn't allowed on the diet. And he went out of ketosis, and I could measure that. Like, that's the great thing about this diet, is I can measure ketones and say, like, you're doing it or you're not doing it. And he was not in ketosis, and his symptoms got dramatically worse. Then as soon as we got him back in ketosis, he got dramatically better. And as you reference, this diet is used in epilepsy, and we have 100 years of clinical and basic science research of this diet in epilepsy. And the real answer is that we use epilepsy treatments in tens of millions of people with psychiatric disorders all the time. Like, we use anti-epileptic treatments all the time. So the fact that this is an anti-epileptic diet makes it an obvious choice for serious mental disorders and mild ones too, like depression and anxiety.
Yes, absolutely. Tammy, yes, this video will be available to watch on the replay on both YouTube and on Facebook. We've got 1,300 folks watching now, but you know as well as I do, there's millions of people suffering from mental health issues. So please consider sharing this video with a particular person who you know might benefit, or you're welcome to share it on your favorite social media. What about the personality disorders? I've been getting I get messages all the time, right? Because I talk to lots of people, I make lots of videos, and I'm always watching for trends. And in my medical practice, I've been practicing over 20 years, and I did quite a bit of psychiatric care, not so much on the cutting edge, but, you know, refills and checkups and how you doing, and, oh, you're getting worse, let me get you back to your psychiatrist. And the personality disorders were always a booger. There's no medicine that helped. No cognitive behavioral therapy. Maybe it was just a morass of just poor outcomes. But I've been getting more and more messages with people with borderline, with schizoaffective, with the histrionic, who, first of all, you know, it's very often very hard for these people to even recognize that their behavior is a disorder, right? But not only are they recognizing that and having that self-awareness, but they're like, dude, it's so much better. None of the pills ever helped it at all. And when you start saying that a dietary intervention can help behavioral disorders, which are anybody who's practiced any kind of mental health knows that those are the boogers. You just can't do anything with them. Have you been getting feedback about the personality disorders as well?
I have. So I've had several patients with personality disorders who also had all sorts of other diagnoses, because they're common. You know, if you've got borderline personality disorder, you're also commonly diagnosed with depression or PTSD or bipolar disorder or a substance use disorder or an eating disorder. And so I've had several patients with personality disorders get dramatically better with the diet. I will say, for full disclosure, I have had a couple that did not do well on the diet at all. One with an eating disorder kind of got out of control, and the eating disorder got really even worse. So I had to tell her to stop the diet. So I don't want to present this as like it's the miracle cure. It will cure all mental illness for every human being. But this is an extraordinarily powerful intervention. And, you know, I have to say, so I work at McLean Hospital and Harvard Medical School, and we have actually one of the premier centers in the world for the treatment of personality disorders. And one of my really good close friends is the personality disorder expert. And I got her to try this diet, and she was like, my God, I feel great on this diet. Chris Palmer, this is awesome. And she ended up using it with one of her treatment-resistant personality disordered patients. And sure enough, she's like, it was a miracle cure. Like, she doesn't seem to have a personality disorder anymore. Her husband is, like, beyond happy. Her husband's, you know, she and her husband would fight all the time. She would berate him. She would, you know, all sorts of drama and, you know, everything with the husband. The husband's like, oh my God, this diet has changed my life. Like, her going on this diet has changed my life. I am so much happier. It can really work, and it can be an extraordinarily powerful intervention.
Absolutely. And I've seen it so many times in my own patients, but also in the anecdotal feedback I get from patients. So I've made a couple of videos about depression, anxiety, and how eating what I call a proper human diet, because when I look into the anthropology and the paleoanthropology, I find that human beings were, you know, for 2.5 million years were considered super carnivores, meaning 70% of their food intake was fatty animals. And so when you have that epiphany, then you're like, well, God, maybe it's not that there's anything magic in the ketogenic diet. Maybe what's going on here is when we convert somebody from a high carb, high processed, high inflammatory standard Western diet to a ketogenic diet, what we're actually doing is removing the inflammatory offending agents. We're removing the things that it has the same footprint as a slow poisoning episode, right? And so when you remove the poison from that situation, and I know that's a strong word to use, but when you stop poisoning someone, they get better. And so it's almost as if for the last 100 years, since big corporations have been in charge of our food supply, that they've been more interested in producing and selling food that's very cheap, that's very shelf stable. And maybe they've been neglecting the nutrition and then maybe they've been including things that, although cheaper to manufacture, were actually inflammatory to our brain or to other tissues. And then that chronic inappropriate inflammation led to an imbalance in the brain. You might talk about the neurotransmitters, but I don't think we know for a fact if that's what's going on or not. But all we know is when people eat this way, their mental health conditions seem to, on average, improve greatly.
Yes. And the interesting news is that we actually do know a lot of the mechanisms of action. And
well, please talk.
The ones that you just mentioned are on that list. So, you know, we have decades of research from neuroscientists and neurologists who have been trying to figure out how this diet works. And a lot of these researchers have been trying to figure out how the diet works, not because they're interested in the diet, but because they want to develop a new pill and they want to figure out how exactly is this diet working? And maybe we can make a new pill based on what we learn. And so we really do have decades. We know more about the effects of this diet on the brain than we do any other dietary intervention. So that includes Mediterranean diet, vegan or vegetarian diets, you know, and even most vitamins. We know more about the effects of this diet. Why? Because again, neurology has been using it for 100 years. So this diet does change neurotransmitter systems. It increases GABA activity, decreases glutamate activity. It changes calcium regulation. It changes your gut microbiome. It decreases inflammation. It absolutely plays a role in insulin and insulin resistance. And it turns out that insulin resistance plays a powerful role in mental disorders, chronic depression, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia. And we have increasing evidence for that, that insulin is a lot more than just your gut. You know, your belly fat, and insulin is a lot more than just diabetes. Insulin has profound effects on the brain, and all of these mechanisms are likely playing a role in how they produce, you know, the benefits.
Yeah, and I think Dr. Palmer hit a very salient point. When you go to your department chairman with a research proposal, okay, always in the back of the minds of the people who decide, yes, we're going to spend the money for this study, always in the back of their mind is, are we going to be able to get a patent out of this? Are we going to be able to have some kind of paradigm shifting? Like we'll now be the leading institution for this thing. Like literally, I mean, I don't mean to be too crass, Dr. Palmer, but it seems like that's all they're interested in, though, is those two questions. And so the fact that there's research money being spent on these ketogenic diet studies at all, of course, they're still looking for a way they can get a FDA-approved patented molecule. Of course they are. But the very fact that they're even spending the money to do the research on this dietary intervention, that should tell everybody, all 1,500 people of you guys listening, that should tell you they've seen the power of this. That because they're not just going to waste money on a research study. That doesn't happen. They're either looking for a patent or they're looking for a somehow they can become the leading institution in the world about a particular subject. Or there's something that's just so powerful on its face, they can't deny it. And they're like, shit, we better research this a little bit because this looks like a big deal. Yeah. What say you, Dr. Palmer?
So I think you're absolutely right. You know, I have two friends who are physicians. They are also in the investment world. And both of them said exactly that to me. They're like, Chris, you can't make any money with a diet. Like, how are we going to make money on this? And I'm like, who said anything about making money? I just want to help human beings. Like, there are like over a billion people on the planet with a mental disorder right now. And not all of them are severe and disabling. But you know, mental disorders are the leading cause of disability in the United States and in the world. These disorders ruin people's lives. And if I can help people right now, today, with a dietary intervention, I am all about that. I'm not about, oh, let's spend the next 20 years trying to develop a patentable molecule that we can sell that probably won't really help very many people anyway and all that. Because this diet is doing so many things. It's not just doing one thing. It's doing like 40 or 50 powerful things.
Yep.
You know, one really good piece of news is that since I've been doing this work over the last 7 years, we have some of the leading neuroscientists and psychiatrists in the world who are publishing research papers on the ketogenic diet for mental disorders. And that's because we have all this evidence from the neurology field and the neuroscience field. They know this is real stuff. They know it all lines up. Like, oh my gosh, that this could really cure people. So I'm working with a group of researchers at Harvard right now. They are interested in getting a study started for people who have recently been diagnosed with bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, thinking, let's not wait for years. Let's not wait for their life to get ruined. Let's try this intervention soon. Like, see if we can get their symptoms into remission right away so that they don't become disabled.
Absolutely. I've got a super chat from Becca. She says, I have bipolar and I'm trying to eat 2-to-1 fat to protein at least, but I get no support from my shrink. And I know she meant that lovingly. What do I do? So what would be your advice to Becca? Obviously, Becca, this is not medical advice to you personally, but if for a person in that situation, what would you recommend they do?
So the first thing I would recommend is that you maybe print out one or two of the research articles that have been published in the medical literature. So you might not even be able to understand them. Print one or two out that have been published in the medical literature. You can find them on my website if you want them. And hand them to your psychiatrist and say, with all due respect, here is a paper. There are respected neuroscientists, psychiatrists, Harvard people, Stanford people, Columbia people, really the National Institute of Drug Abuse, the director of our National Institute of Drug Abuse, her name is Nora Volkow. She has done a study of the ketogenic diet to try to improve brain metabolism in people with alcoholism. So I think if you print that out, hand it to the psychiatrist, say, I really want to try this treatment because the treatments you've been giving me just aren't working all that great. And will you please support me? Will you at least support my trying this? And then can we try to adjust my meds if we need to? If your psychiatrist absolutely refuses, if he or she just is no way, I don't care what's published. I don't care about Nora Volkow. I don't care about anybody. Then I would say it might be time to look for a psychiatrist or a doctor or somebody who might be willing to work with you. Because I do want people with serious mental disorders to work with somebody, especially if they're already on medications. Because even if the diet works fantastically for you, and then you want to get off your meds, I just want you to have supervision so that you can do that safely. And
And I love your advice about print off a couple of studies and take it to your psychiatrist, because people don't understand. It's a very unique field being a physician, because you're immediately looked on by some people as a demigod, but by most people as, well, he knows his stuff, right? Or he wouldn't have this office and he wouldn't have all these books behind him and he wouldn't have that big diploma. And, you know, the medical board would run him out of town. So he must know what he's doing. But people don't understand there's a huge gap between what medicine doctors practice on a day-to-day basis and what the state of the art actually currently is. And the average doctor, at least in the metabolic fields, family medicine, internal medicine, pediatrics, OBGYN, they're typically 5 to 20 years behind the cutting edge. And so I always encourage people, if they're diabetic, print out the ADA guidelines that now include a low carb diet as a recommended dietary intervention. If you have any degree of heart failure and you're diabetic, print out and take the AHA's new position statement that says a low carbohydrate diet is an accepted dietary intervention for people with heart failure and diabetes. Because most doctors, if you come in and say, look, I'm eating keto and that's it, and I don't hear any lip, that's not going to go well, right? But if you're like, look, doc, I've been researching this and I'm not a doctor, but I found all these studies and I'd love it if you'd look at them. This one's by somebody at Harvard. I don't know. That sounds important. Right. And so if you would look at these, this is why I'm eating a keto diet. This is why I'm eating a ketovore or a carnivore diet. This is why I'm eating a proper human diet. Not because I'm some psycho who lives at the trailer park and wears aluminum foil hats. I actually have tried to use my brain about this. And I want your learned opinion about this research from Harvard. Would you mind? I know you're busy, but, and most of the time, what many of my people have found is that opens the door. Because if your doctor takes a research paper from Harvard and throws it in the garbage, that's a huge red flag that you need to fire that doctor's ass. and find a new doctor, right? Because who doesn't want to read a state-of-the-art research paper? Every doctor should be at least somewhat interested, or at least fake it. Jesus, fake it if nothing else, right? And so that gives the patient immediate feedback if they're going to be able to work with this lady or gentleman or not. But also, many times the doc is not aware. They're just reading basically the literature that the drug reps dropped off, right? They're reading in some throwaway journals, this or that, whatever. Use this drug versus that drug. That's really literally their continuing education. And then many of the continuing medical education things that doctors get are literally written by and published by and sponsored by the drug company whose drug is represented and is recommended in the stupid CME. Literally, people don't understand that. And so when you take a research article from a legitimate university and say, look, doc, this is why I'm doing this. That's, if that's a smart doctor, they're going to take that home and read that.
Yeah.
And this is the power of that, Dr. Palmer. When you do that and you open that doctor's mind and they're like, well, shit, I didn't know that keto did that. I thought it just gave you keto butt crack or whatever the latest thing on, you know, CNN was. And they start to look at this. You've just shifted that doctor's paradigm permanently. And not only are you now personally going to have a better doctor, but every other patient that doctor sees for the rest of their career is now going to have a doctor who understands that a ketogenic diet can be a therapeutic intervention. How powerful is that, Dr. Palmer?
I could not agree more. I well said. And it's funny because I, you know, this one of the psychiatrists that I work with at Harvard, I've been telling her about this ketogenic diet for several years now, and she was kind of dismissing it, and you know, it was like more settled with like, yeah, I know the science, Chris, and you're right, I get all the science, but you can't get anybody to do this diet. And then one of her patients went and did the ketogenic diet on his own, came in, and he's dramatically better, and that for her was the switch. She's like, Chris, now I know why you're so excited about this. Like, I see it. And he's never been that well. Like, I've never seen him that well. And I've tried so many pills and so many other treatments, and nothing has worked for him. And he is doing phenomenally well. We have to do a study now. Like, we really have to do a study. I'm like, well, you know, seeing is believing. That's what it is. It's seeing is believing.
Absolutely. And that people think, well, that just applies to me. Doctors don't think that way. Doctors, and I say this all the time, and people think it's funny, but it's 100% true. Doctors are just dudes and chicks, just like me and you. They literally, if you slap them in the face with some facts and it affects their life and improves their health, physical health or mental health, they're gonna pay attention to that. I promise you they will. They just maybe never considered it, or they saw some silly mainstream news article about, oh, keto will give you keto crutch, and therefore they're just negative about it. They're not going to hear anything about it. But giving them that research, I think that's the key, one of the keys that will unlock that door. And let's talk about some specific mental health diagnoses now, Doc. Let's talk about, because you know how many millions of people in just the United States alone suffer from clinical depression.
So clinical depression is now the leading cause of disability in the United States.
The leading cause of disability, even more than low back injury, even more than trauma, even more than accident, even more than substance abuse, is depression.
Yes. And the reason it's the leading cause of disability is not because people aren't getting treatment, is because our treatments don't work for far too many people. So we need better answers. And dietary interventions are one of those answers. Any given year before the pandemic, any given year, about 8% of all Americans would suffer from clinical depression. Since the pandemic, you know, at the height in about June of 2020, about 40% of all Americans said they were having symptoms of depression, anxiety, substance use, or PTSD. They asked a survey sample, how many of you have thought about killing yourself in the last 30 days? 11% of all, a representative sample of Americans said, yes, I've thought about killing myself in the last 30 days. And among the younger people, 18 to 25 year olds, that was the youngest they did because they weren't looking at kids. So 18 to 25 year olds, one in four, 25% said, yes, I have thought about killing myself in the last 30 days. So we have a much bigger pandemic than the COVID-19 pandemic. We have a mental health pandemic.
100% agree. I could not agree more. David Lee, thanks for the super chat. David says, I've been keto carnivore for 3 years and I have epilepsy. Does the neural research show that keto treats the seizure symptoms, or does it also work to normalize the EEG? Interesting question.
It's a great question. And the real answer is the ketogenic diet does not work for 100% of people with epilepsy. So I just have to put that out there. It in patients with treatment-resistant epilepsy, it has a beneficial effect in about 85%. Up to 55% of children and adolescents who do the diet, even though they have treatment-resistant epilepsy, will become seizure-free, completely seizure-free. But the other 30% are still having some seizure activity, but it's markedly reduced. In the people who become completely seizure-free, many of them will actually have normal EEGs after about 2 years of the diet. So the EEG will be normal. And the really fascinating thing is that a lot of people, when they use this treatment for epilepsy, they can often stop the diet, the strict ketogenic version of the diet. They can usually stop it after anywhere between 2 and 5 years, and many of them remain seizure-free, even though they stop the diet. Now, I don't really recommend that they go to a standard American diet, but that they can maybe add more fruits and vegetables back. They don't have to be in a high level of ketosis or anything else. And they can often maintain the benefits. So this, what that tells us is that this diet is, I think of it as it's healing your brain. It allows the damaged areas of your brain to repair themselves and heal themselves through a process called autophagy and mitochondrial biogenesis. So your brain cells actually develop more mitochondria, which are kind of the powerhouses of the cell, but they do a lot more than just that. And so this diet results in a healthier brain after you've been doing it for a while.
Absolutely agree. Good question just came in about exogenous ketones. Now, first of all, if people are new to this way of eating, they don't know the big argument about this. So if you eat a very, very low carbohydrate diet, your body naturally produces ketones, right? And it seems like, at least from my reading, that beta hydroxybutyrate is the one that's probably having the predominant effect on mental health, but the others could be playing a role as well. But there's a big market out there selling exogenous ketones, which means basically ketones that you didn't make, you're just buying them and consuming them. Has there been any research? Because that's what I predict is going to come from a lot of these studies that are being done right now, is they're going to come up with some pharmaceutical grade exogenous ketone. They'll probably take beta hydroxybutyrate and they'll tweak it just a little so it's a unique molecule. Then they can get a patent on that, right? And then they can charge you $10,000 a month for this fake exogenous ketone, which you could literally manufacture in your own body for free. But that's my personal soapbox there. Has there been any research using exogenous ketones, or are there any mental health conditions that you're like, yeah, definitely eat keto, but you're probably going to have to supplement with additional exogenous ketones?
So it's a really important question and one that people are starting to research. I will speculate, and my speculation is that exogenous ketones, if you are not changing your diet at all, if you're just eating a lot of junk food still, exogenous ketones are not going to do anything. And the reason that I say that is because, number one, I've tried it with several of my patients and it didn't work. That's a small sample. Those are anecdotes, so it doesn't mean it can't work for other people, but I haven't seen it work. More importantly, the epilepsy field tens of thousands of people around the world are using this very strict ketogenic diet with their children for epilepsy. Lots of adults are using it to control their seizures. It's not like these people haven't tried exogenous ketones. They have. And we don't have even one case report of anybody successfully being able to transition off a ketogenic diet and use exogenous ketones to control their epilepsy. And what that tells me is that I don't think exogenous ketones are going to be the full answer. They might play a role in augmenting things or helping with symptoms, or maybe helping out if you fall off the wagon and you know, you have a cheat day and then you get into trouble and you need to get in ketosis real fast. But the diet is doing a lot more than just providing beta-hydroxybutyrate. The diet is changing insulin levels and insulin resistance. And if you're still eating donuts while you're drinking your ketones, that's not going to change. You're still going to be insulin resistant. And the diet is changing your gut microbiome. It's lowering your inflammation. If you're still eating inflammatory foods, you're still going to be inflamed. And ketones alone probably won't be a powerful enough anti-inflammatory treatment. So I think the diet is really about, as you said earlier, Dr. Barry, it's about getting rid of some of the bad things that are in our diet and also providing some of the good things that we need.
Absolutely. I couldn't say that any better myself. Currently, my recommendation for exogenous ketones is for either very young people with autism or severe ADHD who are just not going to eat a ketogenic diet. Maybe they'll get some therapeutic benefit from the exogenous ketones. Or on the other end of the spectrum, someone who's very elderly with dementia or Huntington's or Parkinson's, they're going to have their orange juice and toast and oatmeal and damn it, you're not going to change their diet without there being a fist fight. Maybe exogenous ketones, you could slip those in and help their mental function. But I totally agree with you. I think that the ketogenic way of eating is much more than just the ketones. I think that's part of it, definitely. But I think there's much more involved in the global benefit of reducing your carbohydrate intake, of stopping seed oils, of reducing the intake of inflammatory foods, and increasing your intake of ancestrally appropriate, nutrient-dense, very low carbohydrate fuels. I think they have hundreds, if not thousands, of benefits for both your body and your brain. And I hope you're right. I hope every trial with an exogenous ketone fails miserably. And I hope a big pharmaceutical company loses $10 billion on trying to patent an exogenous ketone. I hope that happens.
Well, you know, honestly, I kind of wish, I like simple answers, and I would love if we could just give everybody exogenous ketones. I really kind of hoped at one point that, yeah, if there's an easier way for everyone, I'm all for it. But I just don't think that's going to pan out.
I'm overspeaking there a little bit. If we could come up with a patented exogenous ketone and it really did everything that a ketogenic way of eating would do, I'd recommend it to people, but it would hurt my heart a little bit. But I, you know, as a physician, I have to do what's best for the patient. I have to give them the best treatment, but also the treatment I think they're going to stick to. And I know if you could have an exogenous ketone capsule that was FDA approved and their insurance paid for it, the average patient would probably come closer to taking that than they would to eating a ketogenic diet. So, yeah, I agree. But still, I hope it never pans out.
Just I don't think it will. I think we're both going to be right.
you've published several case studies about using a ketogenic diet. Talk to us about some of the more, all of them are important, but talk to us about the ones you think would have the most benefit for our 1,600 listeners. Which case studies do you think really speak to the heart of this matter?
Probably the most important case that I have had the honor of working with. So it was actually a patient of Dr. Eric Westman's, but she was 70 years old at the time she started the diet. She had been diagnosed with schizophrenia for 54 years. She had chronic paranoid schizophrenia in the classic sense of the word. She had hallucinations and delusions every day. She was suicidal. She tried to kill herself numerous times. She hated her life. She was obese. Yeah. She was over-medicated. Nothing was going well. And she tried the ketogenic diet to lose weight, just like the patient I described. And within 2 weeks, her hallucinations and delusions started going away. Within 6 months, she got off all her meds, and she went completely symptom free.
Wow.
And she went for 14 years after that. She lived for 14 more years into her mid 80s, completely symptom free, no psychiatric medications, no mental health professionals. Wow. No symptoms, nothing. She had a brand new life.
Wow.
Sadly, she passed away this past January from COVID pneumonia, of all things. But she was also like 85, I think, when she passed away. So that is a reasonably long life for most people.
Yep. Yep.
So a ketogenic diet doesn't make you immortal. I just want to point that out. Unfortunately, it's got a lot of powerful effects, but not that. And but the reason her case is so powerful to me is because, you know, until I came upon that, and I have some other cases that I've reported on, long-term schizophrenia symptoms, full remission, off medications, everything else. The reason that's so powerful to me is because it means that we can likely reverse chronic, horrible mental disorders that everybody right now thinks they are lifelong disorders. You are screwed. We don't have anything to offer you. You have a horrible, debilitating brain disorder. It's a genetic. There's nothing you can do about it. And these cases completely speak against that and say that may not be true. And it may not be true for the majority of people. And we might be able to help people reclaim their full mental health, even when they have completely lost hope, their family has lost hope, their providers have lost hope, their doctors have lost hope, even when everybody
else... When I was listening to you talk about the case report, Dr. Palmer, my heart just sank, because if someone watching this, if you've never been around someone with schizophrenia who's been diagnosed for decades, schizophrenic, they have no hope. They've been on 85 different medications and different medication regimens. They've had setbacks. The family has no hope. I mean, literally, it is just a hopeless situation. And for somebody like that to wind up being symptom-free, I mean, that's as close to miraculous as a doctor can ever hope for. I mean, that makes me want to cry. That makes me so happy that it can have that kind of effect. Because even doctors who are ketogenic doctors, we don't know about every case study, right? Because there's so much literature, you can't read it all. And I've never heard about that one before. But, I mean, that's freaking amazing. So everybody out there, if you have a family member with schizophrenia, share this video with their caregiver. Share this video with their psychiatrist. When Dr. Palmer's book comes out, Brain Energy, it's going to be out in November. Buy a copy of that book for the family member who's taking care of that person with schizophrenia. There is absolutely hope. There's hope. Now, of course, this is not a 100% miraculous cure. Nobody's saying that. But to be able to offer somebody in that situation hope, where before there was zero hope, that's what being a doctor is all about. That's why we get up and put our pants on every day. That's why people go to medical school, is to be able to do that kind of sexy shit. Right? But most doctors wind up in a rut just doing the same pharmaceutical crap over and over and over, and they lose hope, just like patients lose hope, just like patients' families. And so that's why a lot of doctors are now on fire, because they've discovered this therapeutic, this dietary intervention that helps so much that you don't have to have a copay. You don't have to have a prior authorization. You don't have to call and talk to the damn doctor at the insurance company to get them to pay for this. That you just change your food. And that literally can give you hope for what you thought was a chronic, lifelong death sentence, even though you're still alive. No, there's hope for that. That's beautiful. I love it. Any other case studies that really you think would speak to people?
I mean, a recent one was, you know, a very wealthy family reached out to me, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. Their son has bipolar disorder, treatment resistant, treated by over 40 different mental health professionals in one way or another, in hospitals, tried lots and lots of medications. And the reason I talk about them being very wealthy is because they had unlimited resources to get him the absolute best of the best care.
They had access to every clinic in the world, every pill in the world, every herb and root in the world. They could bring it.
And they were doing it. They were taking him to all of these clinics and high-end psychiatrists and the leading experts in bipolar disorder and everything else. And at the end of the day, the message was, yeah, no, bipolar disorder really sucks. He's got a chronic mental disorder. His life is pretty much ruined. He's probably not going to be able to, you know, have a job or be normal or whatever. And so he's been on the ketogenic diet for over a year and a half now, is very slowly trying to wean off all of his medications, but for all intents and purposes is cured. His illness is at least in remission.
Nice.
And the kind of heartbreaking thing in my mind was actually listening to him speak a little while ago, and he actually was talking about how, oh my God, for the first time in years, I think I might be able to have a normal life. And this is a kid whose parents are really wealthy. He didn't want money. He didn't want fame. He didn't want fortune. He didn't want any of that. He just wanted to be normal. And he was like going on about, yeah, I'm going to meet my girlfriend's parents, and I'm really worried about that. And that's like a normal thing to worry about as opposed to all my bipolar stuff. And I've got my job now, and I worry about that sometimes, but that's a normal thing to worry about. I'm just a normal person living a normal life with normal worries. And this to him is like the absolute like best thing in the world that could ever happen. And it's heartbreaking because here you have somebody like you were saying, access to the best of the best. Money is no obstacle whatsoever. And the field of mental health says, you're screwed. You're screwed, buddy. You've got a bad illness. It's a brain disorder. It's probably genetic, even though we haven't found the genes for it. It's probably genetic. And, you know, you're just screwed. And that's that. And there's nothing we can do for you. And then to think that a silly diet, not that I think these diets are silly, but in some ways it almost seems like that, like powerful medications, shock treatments, hospitalizations can't do it, but changing the food that you eat can result in a miracle cure. That is crazy in a way.
It is crazy. and for most patients and many doctors, it feels miraculous, right? But we know it's not magic, it's physiology. And I think decades ago, the treatment of psychiatric disease got completely sidetracked when the SSRIs came out, and not really the SSRIs, but all the SSRI advertising about basically every doctor in the country believed that people with depression, anxiety, or any other medical disorder had a neurotransmitter deficiency or imbalance. And this medicine would correct that, although that's never, ever been shown. I don't think to this day has it, Chris.
No,
it's never been shown that taking Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, any of the new ones, that's never been proven that they actually alter your your intracranial neurotransmitters at all, to my knowledge. A good question came in. If you were to go to a mental health wing at a large hospital or a mental health institution, and you were able to just take over and be the medical director and the dietary director and said, look, we're putting every one of these patients, all 500 of them, we're putting every one of these patients on a nutrient-dense, ancestrally appropriate, very low carbohydrate, ketogenic diet. What would happen to that patient population of 500 institutionalized people?
I will be honest with you. I would want to do a little more than just that. So one of the things that I would want to do is I would want to get them off of medications and other substances that are impairing their metabolism. And that might mean heavy use of alcohol. It might mean heavy use of marijuana, but it also might mean, unfortunately, a lot of psychiatric medications. 100%. And, you know, we know that some of the psychiatric medications are impairing people's metabolism. They make people gain weight. They make people get diabetes. They make people die early deaths. And so I would want to pair my intervention of diet with some other things. I'd probably have them exercise. I would be talking to them about hope for their life and what they're going to do when they get better so that they feel like they have a purpose in life. Like, people need a purpose. They need to know that when I get out of here, I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to be able to contribute to society in some way. I'm going to be able to earn my own way. People are going to respect me. If they're single, maybe I could find somebody who would love me. Like, they need all of that. And if we were to do that with a large group of people, I actually think the clearly the majority would get better. I firmly believe that. Would it be 100% of them? I think we might be able to get 100% of the people better, but some people are going to have rare hormonal problems, or they might have vitamin B12 deficiency due to an autoimmune disorder. And we need to identify that. And then they might actually need vitamin B12 injections because they can't absorb it through their gut. So I think that there are some other disorders like those that can also cause mental problems. And we would need to screen people for those conditions and provide appropriate medical care. I don't think the ketogenic diet would automatically cure them. Like, they still wouldn't be able to absorb vitamin B12 even on a ketogenic diet. But I think we could get the overwhelming majority of people dramatically better. I do.
No, I totally agree. Nisha, my wife, she worked as a nursing home nurse for, I think, about over 10 years. And I had multiple patients in our local nursing home. And we've sat around and talked before. If we could just go in and she could be the DON and I could be the medical director, and because they just feed the patients crap. It's worse than cafeteria food for children at school, which is also crap. The same goes for prisons. The same goes, I suspect, for mental institutions. If they are fed the same diet as the average hospital patient, it's literal high carbohydrate, inflammatory, highly processed shit. Let's not mince words. It's literal crap. Okay. If we could go in and put all, I don't know, 100 patients on a ketogenic whole foods diet, I would bet in the average nursing home, at 20 to 25% of the patients within 6 months would be discharged back to home, because what you thought was a permanent dementia or a permanent, you know, physical debility, all of a sudden, when you start feeding them all of the amino acids, fatty acids, vitamins, minerals that they need, get them out in the sun every day, go for a walk if they're able every day. Literally 25% of these people who are institutionalized in a nursing home, they would be discharged to home because they would have no further need of that level of care. And then everybody else in the nursing home would be at least better, if not able to go home. But yet nobody's interested in doing that except the few doctors like you and I who are out here beating our head against the wall and yelling as loud as we can out into the valley. Hey, there is an answer.
Yeah, it is frustrating. And I'm actually really hoping, I may be stupid and naive, but I'm really hoping that my book might help change the mental health field.
Let's talk about your book. It's coming out in November. It's called Brain Energy. Tell us about this book and where we can get it.
So the easy part of where to get it, you can pre-order it already. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble, anywhere. So Brain Energy by Chris Palmer. You can find it for pre-order. The book is
put a link in the show notes as soon as this is over, guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes.
The book is actually about much more than just the ketogenic diet. And, you know, I actually started writing a book about the ketogenic diet probably 5 years ago and quickly decided nobody's going to believe this. And I'm going to just be banging my head against the wall, getting nowhere. I really want to change the mental health field. So I need to prove to them why this works and why they have to take this seriously. And so the book actually offers a unifying theory for what causes mental illness. And in a nutshell, what I'm trying to prove, and I think I've done a pretty good job, and several people who've read it already say, yeah, I think you kind of did it. What I'm trying to prove is that mental disorders are metabolic disorders of the brain. And the reason this is so important and powerful is because it connects the dots of the mental health field. Like right now, if you ask even the best neuroscientist what causes schizophrenia, what causes chronic depression, what causes bipolar disorder, the real answer is no one knows. But we know like neurotransmitters might play a role, hormones might play a role, genetics might play a role, the gut microbiome maybe plays a role, inflammation plays a role, but nobody has been able to figure out how do all of those things fit together to cause mental illness. And that's what I have tried to do in this book. So the book is, it's a science book. It's a science book written for the general public, but it is a science book. It is not an easy self-help book of here are 10 steps to cure your mental illness and we're done. I am making a serious attempt to change the mental health field and force mental health practitioners' hands to start offering metabolic treatments. And some of the most powerful metabolic treatments are the things that you all know about already. And Dr. Barry, you've been talking about for years now. Diet, exercise, all of these things are powerful metabolic treatments to improve human health. And when we improve human health in those ways, guess what? Brain health improves too. And this cuts across the board for all mental disorders. I told you about, you know, the national government, Nora Volkow, National Institute of Drug Abuse. This applies to alcoholism, believe it or not. This applies to schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. And it certainly applies to milder disorders like burnout or mild depression, anxiety. It applies to all mental disorders. Now, obviously, the symptoms are different for these different disorders, and I talk about that and I explain that. But in a nutshell, it's basically if one part of your brain is metabolically disordered, you're going to have some symptoms. If a different part of your brain is metabolically disordered, you're going to have different kinds of symptoms. But the good news is that if you address it with a metabolic treatment, like a diet or exercise or other kind of intervention, you can heal that metabolic problem.
Yeah. I love that. We got a super chat from Deidre. She says, I suspect that it was being placed on Zoloft when I was 15 that actually augmented much of my mental health woes throughout my life. Chris, can you comment on this aspect of mental health injury? So Deidre suspects that Zoloft may have actually led to some mental health issues. What say you, Dr. Chris Palmer, psychiatrist?
In my book, I actually talk about medications and how they can sometimes help metabolism, but clearly for some people, they hurt metabolism and they can actually make things worse. we know that when people go on a medication like Zoloft, for some people, it can trigger, you know, anxiety, but it can trigger suicidality. It can trigger bipolar symptoms. It can trigger psychotic symptoms. So there are definitely people, and this is uncontroversial for me to say, there are definitely people who have horrible, debilitating side effects or reactions to Zoloft. The controversy in the field is a lot of people in the field will say, well, you were kind of probably genetically predisposed to that, and that was going to happen to you anyway. And Zoloft just triggered it. According to my thinking now, based on all of the science that I know, I actually don't think that's true. I do think medications can hurt people. I talk about two patients in particular where the primary intervention to get them better was to simply get them off all their psychiatric medications. That was the main thing I had to do. Once I got them off all their psych meds, which was not always an easy thing. Sometimes if people have been on these for years or decades, it can be hell to get them off. But once we got them off, they were cured of their mental illness.
Yeah, I've actually seen that multiple times in my own practice. I would have somebody in their 60s, 70s, 80s come in, and they would literally be on 15 to 25 different medications. And five or six of those would be psychotropics, 100%. They'd be on definitely an SSRI. They'd be on a mood stabilizer, which just gives me a migraine thinking about the term. They'd be on this and that. Sometimes they'd be on Abilify. They'd be on Zyprea, you know, just all the things. And just to think about the chemical soup that their brain was being basted in every day. And so many times they're like, I would just love to come off all these medicines. And I would, you know, full disclosure, I would tell them, you may need some of these, but I'm happy to start decreasing and stopping. And I was de-prescribing way before that was sexy or cool or even acceptable. It was very frowned on when I started de-prescribing back in, you know, 2007, 2008. But as I would slowly bring them off these psychotropics that they'd been on for sometimes decades, Dr. Palmer, it was like their brain was able to wake up again. And sometimes they would wind up still needing a small dose of this, that, or the other. And that's fine. But to be able to come off 5 or 10 or 15 different medicines and then decrease the dosages of the other 5 or 10, son, that's a great victory for most people, not even mentioning the copays and the amount of hours they spend a month waiting in the pharmacy line, right? But just that the fact that their body is not burdened with the shackles of these multiple medication polypharmacy. For some people, that's you're right. That's the answer, is just to get them off all this shit in a slow, orderly fashion. So nobody at home, stop your medication. We're not saying that. Don't do that. But go have a conversation with your mental health provider or your healthcare provider and say, look, damn it, unless you can tell me definitively that this is helping me, or that it will harm me if I decrease or stop this medication, then I want to have a discussion with you about decreasing and or stopping several of these medications. I think because most doctors, their mindset is not on de-prescribing, which is decreasing or stopping medicines. They only know how to write prescriptions. And they're very uncomfortable initially with de-prescribing. But if you open that door, and they understand that you don't feel like, as a patient, you're not expecting a new prescription at the end of this office visit. Many times, many doctors, that's all the permission they need from you to put on their de-prescribing hat and say, okay, well, let's take a fresh look at your med list here. Oh, well, yeah, you can stop this. You don't need that. And all of a sudden, this same doctor who had been mindlessly refilling medicine for 20 years, right, Dr. Palmer? When you say that one sentence, all of a sudden this doctor is now your advocate in deprescribing. Have you seen this happen at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I think some doctors are more open to it than others, but you're right. It is, we need a sea change in the medical field. We really do. Because, and I kind of tend to see the, you know, treatment resistant patients. So I don't see patients who've only been on meds for 2 years. I see patients who've been on meds for 20 years or 50 years. And so it can be really hard to get them off meds. It really can. I want to be the first to say that. Yep. I have one patient right now. We have been trying for 4 years to get him off stuff. He's on probably about 25% of what he used to be on. So we're making progress slowly but surely. But sometimes we go down on a med and his symptoms flare up and it becomes yep. intolerable, and then he can't stand it. And then we're like, okay, let's go back up and just hold steady and let you get your bearings again. And then we'll try again in a few weeks or in a month.
But at least he's able to have that conversation with you. And I think that in and of itself is very, very therapeutic. Now, Galveston County, Mike, thanks for the super chat, Mike. He, as a PTSD veteran, and this is an area where I've seen stunning, stunning improvement in PTSD in veterans and in other people. Got off SSRIs and worse 15 years ago, and now with the carnivore diet, have been feeling better in the past 6 months than in the past 20 years. Have you had a similar experience with PTSD patients?
I have, and there's actually a study of PTSD patients going on in Europe right now, because those researchers have also found a lot of success with PTSD. And, you know, I just want to reinforce this point, because a lot of people are skeptical when they hear me saying stuff like this. Well, wait, Dr. Palmer, which diagnosis are you talking about? You're talking about schizophrenia and bipolar and depression and PTSD. These are all different diagnoses. Why are you talking about a miracle cure snake oil for all of them? And the connection nope. is that nope. they are all metabolic brain disorders.
Yes.
And that we can use a metabolic treatment like the ketogenic diet to restore their brain metabolism to help them get better. And that is the whole point.
Absolutely. Now, I've linked to Dr. Palmer's website down in the show notes below, and there is a link off that to the book. But as soon as this live's over, I'm going to link to his book. It's available for pre-sale on Amazon and at all bookstores. The book is called Brain Energy. And I'm going to have a link to your book and a link to your website, doctor, because the people are eating this up. We've had 1600 watching this entire time. And that's great numbers. That tells me that people are really interested in this, because people are hungry for this knowledge. And I think what you said, I want to talk about this, and then I'm going to let you close this out. A lot of people are, especially people if they're paramedical at all. It sounds like snake oil when you're saying, oh, well, this diet helps schizophrenia, but also helps depression. But it also helps PTSD. I mean, it also helps autism. And they're like, what the hell, doc? What are you talking about? These are all discrete different diagnoses. And what I would say to everybody out there who's a healthcare provider, a paramedical person, you work in the healthcare field, there are many, many diagnoses that have their own ICD-10 code. Okay. But what Dr. Palmer, I think what he's saying, and I know what I'm saying, is that the vast majority of these chronic medical and mental conditions, they all have the same root cause or the same set of root causes. And a vast majority of those root causes are in the pseudo Franken food that you've been putting in your mouth. Is that close to what you agree with, doctor?
It's close to what I agree with. So I absolutely think that a horrible diet is one of the biggest root causes. So I will give you the sneak preview. In my book, I'm saying the root cause is metabolism and metabolic problems. And at the end of the day, in order to understand what that means, you really have to understand these tiny little organelles in our cells called mitochondria.
Yes.
Because they actually do a lot more than just make ATP. They're a lot more than powerhouses. They help control the expression of genes from your nucleus. They actually are instrumental in controlling hormone levels like cortisol, estrogen, and testosterone. They play an instrumental role in inflammation. They do so many things. And once people understand how all of the dots connect and how all of the risk factors for what we know are risk factors for mental illness connect through metabolism and mitochondria, then they can actually start to see, oh my God, now it all makes sense. Now I can see what's causing the problem, and here are some ways we can actually help people recover and heal. And that is what I'm really hoping to do. So for people who, I'm going to go ahead and just say this, and I'm really sorry, I'm probably stupid to say this, but this is a science book. I include so much evidence because I really want to prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt so that we can actually change the real mental health field. I want people to get this treatment when they go to a psychiatric hospital. I don't want to be banging my head against a wall saying, why won't anybody take this seriously? Why won't people listen? I want help to get to the millions and millions of people who are desperate for it.
And there are indeed millions and millions of people all over the world who literally think there's no hope. And you guys think that I'm asking you to share this video to help my engagement and my numbers. I've got 2.1 million followers. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm asking you to share this video because of what Dr. Palmer just said. There are millions upon millions of people out there who, just like his schizophrenic patient, just literally have no hope. They've given up hope. They've given up on life. There's not an answer for me. There's nothing I can do. I am hopeless. I am helpless. I'm done. And that's not necessarily true. And so if you know anyone this video could help, please, please share this video. Because, and also share a link to Dr. Palmer's book. I am stoked to get my hands on a copy of Brain Energy, because I think the mitochondria, I think that is one of the untapped powerhouses, pardon the pun, that literally healthcare providers are going to be, when we truly understand the full implications of mitochondrial function, and when we truly understand how all the food we eat and the life we live impacts our mitochondrial function, I think that's going to change the way medicine is practiced at a paradigm level, literally change the entire face of medicine. In the next, hopefully, 5 to 10 years, but probably 20 to 30 years, but I predict that's going to change. Thank you so much, Dr. Chris Palmer, for doing this live with me. This will be available for, you can watch this if you're joining late. You can watch the full thing on Facebook and YouTube on my channel. And I'm going to put a link to Dr. Palmer's book. I encourage every single damn 1,603 of you to buy his book, because if you don't have a mental health problem, I promise you, you care about somebody who does. You may not even know it. Doctor, any final words?
You know, my final word is I really do want to change the mental health field. And that is going to take a grassroots movement. At the end of the day, we need people who care about this passionately, who are sick of the status quo, who are sick of their loved ones or themselves being disabled by treatments that don't work. And so when my book comes out, I'm actually working with people who are really actually serious about, let's start a mental health movement. Let's get this going. Let's call for major changes. Let's get more research funding on this. Let's get treatment centers and hospitals. Let's make sure clinicians know how to do this. Because, you know, Dr. Barry, you're going to be needing to train a lot of clinicians. Like, when clinicians are saying, okay, now we're listening, now we're ready to hear you out, they need training because they don't know what to do. They're eating the standard junk food diet too. And so I am hoping that people will join us and we'll get together for a movement and spread the word and really let's improve people's lives.
Well, I'm on board, and I know my people are going to be on board, and we will be shouting it from each individual rooftop for all the world to hear. We need to have a revolution in mental health care, and we need to have a revolution in just medical care in general. And I know that you are pushing the edge. You're pushing the leading edge in that respect. I'm trying to do the same over here in primary care. And I think when enough of us get together and refuse to shut up, refuse to be shut up, you're not going to shut me up, because I know, Dr. Palmer knows, and we're never going to stop sharing this truth with the people who need it, because there are people out there all over the world who are suffering. Thank you so much, Dr. Chris Palmer. It's been a pleasure. When the book comes out, and I want to do this again with you, I think there's so much more that we could discuss that would help people.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Barry, for having me on.
Thanks so much for joining me, everyone. Thanks, Dr. Palmer. Everybody go buy Brain Energy. It's available for pre-order now at all bookstores, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Thank you, doctor. See you later.